What a faithful father he is. I pray that, trust that everyone had a good Christmas. And if you didn't, then it can be better next time. Because it's a wonderful time for God's children. I don't mean just that day, but just to know that we have a Savior that has come for us. This evening, if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn to Psalms 144. As I mentioned last week, I don't know what particular kind of sermon you're supposed to preach between Christmas and New Year's. I wasn't thinking about it. I'm just going to preach tonight what the Lord gave me. But Psalms 144 and verse 1, David is the author, the writer here. The Holy Spirit's the author. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. One additional scripture from the New Testament. I'm going to focus tonight on verse 1. There where David talks about the Lord is strength, which teaches his hands to war and his fingers to fight. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3 and 4. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war. That's not where our fight is, in the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, not fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for every good and perfect gift, for the many prayers that you've answered, Lord, for your faithfulness and things that we have sought you about. But Lord, we thank you, as has been testified, for the little things that we sometimes fail to mention. So many ways that you take care of us, Lord, that you help us in this battle that we're in. Sometimes when we don't even know about the battle, Lord, you're already there preparing the way. Lord, I pray that you bless your word tonight. Anoint these lips of clay, Lord, that you might speak to each of our hearts. Pray, Lord, that everything that is said tonight would be for your glory and to help encourage souls. And for all you do, we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Tonight, is my thoughts are around the spiritual battle, the conflict that all of us are in as God's children. The Lord drew my attention reading this morning to verse 1 of Psalms 144. I'll read it again. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. I want to direct our attention to that thought for a little bit tonight. How the Lord is willing to teach us to fight, teach our hands to war, teach our fingers to fight. And I just want to use as a subject tonight the thought of learning to fight. You know, we all come into the world in a sense fighting. Human existence is a fight, a struggle. But we're not very far along in developing our human lives, and I mean very little, when we start learning to fight. Amen? We have a Heavenly Father who wants to teach us how to fight in this spiritual battle that we are in. I've said it many, many times, and you know it, especially if you're trying to live for the Lord. You know that the Christian life, it's not always, while we have peace and we have joy in the Lord and Our hearts are content in Christ, but with that being true, we're still in a conflict. We have an adversary called the devil. We live in the midst of an ungodly world that is against us as children of God. We have to battle this flesh, so we need to learn to fight in the right way. All of us, of course, know enough about David, who wrote this particular psalm. David was a man who knew how to fight. He was a great man of war. Probably, if you could have asked the Israelites about their greatest champion in history, all minds would have gone to David. He was the giant slayer. He was the one who had fought as a boy, as a young man, shepherd boy, the lion and the bear that came against his sheep, and he had defeated them. And all throughout David's reign as king, one enemy after another had been rising up against Israel and against him personally. Of course, his conflict with King Saul when he was serving under Saul. Saul was made himself his enemy and always trying to kill David. And David knew a lot of things about fighting and understanding how to win. I thought it was thinking about this, and you know, just on a human level for a moment, because David was a king. He was a, you know, he was the commander in chief. He was a man of war. I could imagine that. Of course, this is written at a later time in his life, that he had learned enough things that he saw the need to pass on to others what he had learned. He wanted his soldiers. He wanted, you know, the commanders of his troops to understand what he had come to learn, what God had taught him. I believe that David passed down a lot more than just the knowledge of how to fight physically. You know, there were certain ways, I'm sure, that those men were taught and learned to use a sword. There's a certain technique in throwing spears, and I'm sure David knew very well how to use a sling. And he knew as a man of war how to use his hands, his fingers, to fight. But I'm sure David, and I feel very sure in saying this, that in instructing his soldiers and whoever it was that David was passing this knowledge on to, David, because he was a man of God, David was always quick to add to those instructions that no matter how much you learn on a physical level, if the Lord is not your strength, you'll never be able to overcome the enemy. Amen? You know how people are physically, and we even have it in God's word. When David was such a great champion, and what one of the things that caused Saul to become jealous of him, you know, they went to battle, and David was such a mighty man of war, and they came back, and what were the women singing? You know, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And you know, and we have to be careful about this too when we read about these prominent people in history, like David, like Moses, and you could name a lot of other names, that we have to remember they were men of flesh and blood just like you and I. I'm sure the people, the Israelites of their time, because they were so proud of David as their champion and when he became king. And they would probably tell people, you know, how the stories would spread of David defeating the lion and the bear, and then that Philistine giant Goliath. David stood against him with only a sling and a few rocks, and David overcome him, and what a great champion, what a skilled fighter he was. That's what people do. They look at the human. David knew better, amen? I've read a few things, and we don't know exactly. We have a description of Goliath, and even of King Saul. You know, Saul was a big man. He was a man head and shoulders above the rest of Israel. But in everything that I've read, in the likenesses that people have made of David, we don't see a man of great physical stature. We see a very ordinary man. But we see spiritually what we should see is a man who had learned to make the Lord his strength. Blessed be the Lord, my strength. Because the way that he overcame, I mean, think about this. A teenage boy, a bear comes against him, and that boy defeats a bear. A mountain lion comes against him, or whatever kind, any kind of lion, you don't have to, comes against him, and that young man overcomes a lion. And he stands against that heathen giant, 9 foot tall, and all that we know about Goliath. And we want to begin to imagine that David, by the skill of his hands, physically overcame all of those. No. David would stop you right there and say, it was not my skill. It was the Lord who is my strength. Amen. David knew that, and we should know that as well. He knew that it was the Lord who guided his hands. It was the Lord who taught his fingers to be able to hold and to sling that stone in that manner. David understood that. And I believe that he made it clear to them it was the strength of the Lord. They had to learn a lot of different things physically. And I'll... You could go a lot further with this than I'm going to tonight, but because all of these have spiritual applications, you know, there's times we face enemies that you got to fight in different ways. You know, sometimes they used the sling, sometimes it was a spear, sometimes a sword, and on, and that was back in those generations. But through it all, David's reminding them, whatever weapon you're using, whatever enemy's coming against us, the key is to know the Lord is the source of your strength. That is the key. But I want you to think with me for a few minutes here about applying these truths to our lives. There's only one way for us to win in the spiritual battle. Amen. It's the same way with David, when the Lord is our strength. We say it, it seems like I'm saying it every week recently, that reminding us of what Jesus told us, that without him, we can do nothing. You know, y'all's getting good at that, because that's what we can do, nothing. We have no strength to face our adversary, the devil. We have not enough strength to overcome this ungodly world. We don't even have enough strength to bring this flesh under subjection. If we don't have the Lord as our strength, amen, we cannot triumph in the spiritual battle. He alone is the one that is able to teach our hands to fight in the right way. I said, Brother Chris, what do you mean hands? Well, this is part of my burden tonight. You know, before we can learn to fight in the right way, we have to unlearn the wrong way. All of us have learned to fight in the wrong way. I don't make any exceptions. Every human being, I mean, that is of, you know, a rational state of mind and physical abilities, we all learn to fight in a particular way, and I'll tell you just real briefly what that is. It's a carnal way. We all got a hold of that real early. Amen? A little child comes into the world, and of course, you know, life's a struggle, but it's not long before they're around siblings and other children, and you know, they learn real quick how to fight. Some of them, sadly, they learn early that, you know, if they're tough enough, you can fight like this. Others, maybe not so big or strong, they learn to pick up something. I mean, they learn early. He's bigger than me, but my stick's bigger than him. Amen. Say, Brother Chris, that's just boys. Well, now I'm getting to the girls. But not just girls, because we all learn to fight with this. Amen. Oh boy, it got real quiet. Everybody's thinking, oh my, he's going to preach on the tongue. Well, I'm going to mention it, because that's people's favorite weapon to fight with. big or small, rich or poor, everybody that has the ability to talk learns to fight with their tongue. Amen. And of course, we have mankind that developed abilities to communicate in other ways. You know, quite a few years ago, we learned how mankind learned to communicate through writing, through the written word. And so they took it beyond just fighting with verbally with words, and they would fight through the written word. You know, men have been doing that for centuries. Until now, today, think of where we are. Through technology, through all the it's available, social media and the internet and texting. And you can sit in your house in East Texas and fight with somebody across the world that you never are going to meet. And we laugh, but it happens every hour of every day. People are fighting. All fighting. Using their phone, their computer, their tablet as a weapon of warfare. Fighting. Using their hands. So I'm talking about this particular thing. Lord, teach my hands to war and to my fingers to fight. But David's saying, Lord, because what was David fighting for? He was fighting the battles of the Lord. David was not fighting carnal battle. David, as the leader of Israel, the king of Israel, the captain of Israel, he was fighting the battles of the Lord, and that's the same battle we are supposed to be fighting, and it's the only battle we're supposed to be fighting today. Amen? I don't have it in my notes, but I'll say it because I know it is true. Every time we make it a battle of flesh and blood, we are the loser. It don't matter if you whoop somebody, out-talk them, outright them, put them to shame. Every time we engage in a battle of flesh and blood, it is carnal, and we are the loser. Every time. Same way with verbal battles. You know, I can remember as a young man, and this seems funny now to me, you all can laugh, you know, coming out of high school, and I wanted to change the world, and I truly was thinking about going to college to major in political science, and I wanted to learn how to persuade audiences, and now you're laughing, I know, because the Lord had a lot different plan, and I'm thankful. But I used to admire those men that I thought could, you know, debate and they could go back and forth and somebody would be the victor, somebody would triumph. But you know what I've learned since then? In verbal battles, in the battles of the word, there are no winners. Amen. There's only losers. So let me go on here. People can see they've taken this verse to an entirely new level. They can use their fingers to fight on a level that David could never even comprehend, but it's always a carnal battle. See, you say, well, I know, Brother Chris, this is not how God's people fight. Amen. It's not. Christian brethren that in disagreement, they don't settle their differences like this. That's carnal. That's of the devil. But I can tell you just the same that Christian people don't settle their differences like this. Amen. The devil has a hold of too many fingers of believers. And very little good is coming through it. So we have to be willing to unlearn, which means to let go of our carnal methods of fighting. You know, there was a time, this was after the, you know, what I just said, giving up that dream, and the time that I was had drifted spiritually, and I thought that the answer was, you know, just to become a little tougher, and so I wanted to learn, and tried to make my body stronger and learn to fight with my hands and fight with my feet and use my body and all these things. And I thought if you can just get the best of your opponent. But the Lord changed me. And he taught me that the way to win those battles is not like this, but by reaching out and loving my enemy and helping him.
Amen.
Amen. My hands.
Amen.
Doing good to those who despise you and use you. I used to think that if you could just, you know, develop your mind and your intellect and you could use your tongue to win the battle, but God's taught me that the real battles are won like this. Amen. I used to think if I could just get my hands on him. And God taught me if I get my hands on something better, everything would be changed. See, I'm talking about our hands, our fingers. We use them in a lot of ways, but, you know, we lay in hold of a lot of things. God said, I want to teach your hands to fight in the right way. Amen. Using these fingers, laying hold of these promises. Amen. Many, many things the Word of God says about this subject. You know, the enemy that we are against, he said it often, he's not omniscient like God, but he sees, he observes. And, you know, he sees us when our hands are hanging down. You know what that's a sign of? You know, everybody knows. The Bible talks about lift up the feeble hands that hang down. The devil loves it when he sees somebody with their hands hanging down because he knows they're liable for an attack. They're open for an attack. It's a sign of defeat, of discouragement. But you know what God teaches us? What a difference it makes in the spiritual battle. When instead of, you say, Brother Chris, you don't have to explain that to me. I talked to my wife before I came to church. It's her junior church lesson and this kind of paralleled each other, and we didn't even know it, but we were talking. And I said, you know, it's hard when you just don't feel like it. I said, I know what the Bible says, but we need to let God teach us, because he said, don't let the hands hang down, but lift them up. Yeah. Lift them up in praise to God. Lift them up and rejoice in Jesus Christ, our Savior, because when the devil sees those hands come from down here and up here and you start praising God with your hands, he does not want to hang around. Amen? I'm talking about fighting. The devil hates to be around the praises of God. Oh, he loves it when he sees God's people down. Amen. But when he sees those hands lifted up in praise to God. You say, Brother Chris, I'm just not that kind of person to do that in church. Can you do it privately? Maybe do it privately and you feel like doing it when you get here at church. You say, well, you just get all worked up. No. Some of you don't understand. You know, you say, well, you're up there and you just get, no, a lot of times when you see my hands up, it's not because I'm worked up. It's because what we're singing or what God's speaking to me about, it's true. Because it's true. Not because I feel like I'm on the mountain, not because that I've don't have any struggles in my life, not because my emotions are up, but because I'm testifying to God's truthfulness. Amen. The easy thing is just to not do that, but God's teaching our hands to fight. Amen. I mean, it would, imagine sometime, let me imagine for a moment. But I mean, coming here and some Sunday and you know, we're worshiping God and the Spirit moves and imagine that hands start going up all over this congregation. Well, the devil gets so scared, he wouldn't want to stay around this place. Amen? Because God's people are listening to the Lord and they're learning to fight. Teach my hands, my fingers to fight. And there's times, I'll just say we all face, maybe some of us more than others. There's times that the glass just doesn't look half full. It looks half empty. Anybody with me? You know, and you know what we really feel like doing is just grumbling. Nobody else, just me. Just complaining. I just need to vent for a while. I just want to gripe about things. Amen. This situation, that person, that whatever, I just want to let it out. Nobody else but me, amen. You know, that's just giving all kind of room to the devil, but God wants to teach our hands, our fingers. You know, when you feel like that, you know what it takes to use one of these? Fingers. Maybe get your phone and use it for something good for a change. Type or speak to it and say, just Siri, find the song, count your blessings, and sing it to me. And get your little fingers and you start writing down the blessings that God has bestowed on you. Don't just let it go one ear and out the other, but those hands that have been hanging down and all that's been coming, trying, wanting to come out, instead let God teach us. Let's learn to fight. The devil's trying to use that opportunity to beat us down even further, but let's allow God to teach us and let's, you say that's childish, Brother Chris, except ye be like little children. Well, I remember all my blessings. Good, write them down and hand them in to the preacher. I want to read them. Because I'll probably need to do it out loud from time to time. Write them down. Do what that song says. Count them. Well, that's just, I'm an adult. Well, bless your heart. Just let God teach you. Give your fingers over to God. And you know what will happen? You start writing them down. You get down very far and you go, wow. It's a little longer and boy, it looks like that my blessing list is outweighing that other list that I've been whining about. Looks like I got a lot more to praise God for and bless his holy name for than I had to whine about. Amen? I didn't come to get on you tonight. I told Vicki I never studied or preached this before, but God wants to teach our hands to fight. Amen. And I don't ever bring my phone to church, but I could borrow one of yours because I know most of y'all have them. Sometimes if we'll listen to the Lord, we'll take these fingers and we'll push that little button on the side of the phone and we'll hold it about 4 or 5 seconds. Boys, it gets real quiet now. You done got into the worst kind of meddling in this generation that can be meddled with. Until that thing goes black. When's the last time yours been black? No, I don't mean on and resting. I mean, can't nobody call you, can't nobody text you, can't get an email, can't get a news alert, can't get a flash about this, you can't because your fingers have been taught of the Lord something you, I, we all need to do on a regular basis. The church has just about given up her prayer life in this generation because she can't. She refuses to get away from that stupid device. You say, oh, Brother Chris, it's used for good. Then use it for good. And don't let it destroy our prayer lives and destroy our social lives and destroy our family lives. I didn't come preach about the phone, but I could get stirred up pretty quick about that. Some days I want to put it down and take a hammer to it. Let God teach your fingers how to use that thing in the right way. Instead of spending countless hours, anybody else got a phone that embarrasses you weekly? What do you mean? Oh yeah, every week mine gives me a reminder. This is how much time you average throughout the week. Amen? Just mine? Somebody else? Oh my. You know, the Lord's going, you really studied that much? I don't know how I got this far in this. Yeah, I do. You know, what would be happening if we'd listen to the Lord? We'd get that away from us for a little while, and we would enter into communion with God, and we began to do like Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 2. Pray, lifting up holy hands. It's 1 Timothy 2:8. Amen? Yeah. Don't pray lifting up a holy hand with an iPhone in your hand. Amen. I'm pretty convinced that it would send some people into a nervous reaction if they had their phone gone for about, wouldn't take many hours, just a few minutes. I've watched people. I've done it. You know, it used to be I'd go out, oh, where'd my wallet go? You know what it is now? Oh, just like you. Where's it at, Brother Mike? Heaven help us to get back to the house. You know, amen. One more, let me go ahead, I'll get off the phone. Boy, this didn't sound like a Christmas message. Somebody bought me a phone for Christmas, brother. Use them for God's glory. Amen. But let's let the Lord teach us how to use them. Amen. But you know, there's some people need to use their hands, and this is figuratively. They need to put away that mirror that keeps them focused on the one in the mirror. You know who you look at in the mirror? We already talked about this, didn't we? Every time you're looking at it, you're seeing where most of your problems are coming from, by the way. I know that's not very friendly, but I'm not out on this branch. So, put away that mirror that keeps you seeing only your favorite one. The one you think about the most, the one you're most absorbed with and focused on. Put that away. And do like the Bible said, use your hands to start ministering to others. Amen. It'll change things. It'll change defeat to victory. Amen. But I want to close going back to those first words because this is the key. If we don't have the Lord as our strength, we're not going to do any of these things in the right way. Because what I have learned, I don't have the strength of will to bring this body into subjection on a spiritual level. To bring this mind, you know, every thought into captivity. Brother Mike, I don't have that power. You say, well, preacher, you're just weak. Well, maybe I've just come to admit it. And it's made me realize that if the Lord is not my strength, there's nothing good going to get done. Right. Amen. Amen. The flesh is going to get the best of me. The world's going to get the best of me. The devil's. Because I have no strength. True. That is the lesson that just keeps getting amplified as I get older. Not because my body's weaker, but I mean, I've learned a few things. I can't. I guess that's why the Lord just keeps reminding me, and I keep repeating, without him we can do nothing, because I learn that more and more. This is the key. We want the Lord to teach us how to overcome in this conflict, how to keep pressing on and have victory in our souls, how to be a blessing, how to bring glory to God. We must depend on the Lord as our strength. Amen. The more I depend on mine, the more I make it a carnal battle. And those battles have only losers. So I hope and pray tonight that we'll... I really didn't... I say this with a smile. I didn't intend coming to for it to sound probably as hard as it has tonight, but so be it. You know, you mentioned cell phones in 2024, and you're on shaky ground, but the Lord knows what we need. Amen. See, I'd rather you be happy in your soul and happy in your relationship with the Lord than be happy with me. You don't have to be. Well, if you get happy with the Lord in your soul, you'll like me all right. I just want to tell you the truth. I want to ask our musicians to come. We'll sing a verse or two of a song. If you need to pray, the Lord is, and I pray the Lord has spoken to all of us, that we'll heed his voice. Father, thank you for this.